Here we go. Okay.
Working today. Okay, let's begin. It says the Gemara on the bottom of Chaf Dalad Amad Aleph. The very bottom line. The Omar of Chanina. Why does it say the Omar of Chanina? Because this is a continuation from the previous Gemara where it says Omar Abi Chanina. Now it's the Omar. This is the next thing that he said. Ani ro'isi es Rebbe. So he is now telling us different things that he saw Rebbe do. The first thing he saw was hang his tefillin, which the Gemara eventually said means he hanged it up in a tick, in a cover, and it's not like a Sefer Torah. Second thing he saw, says the Gemara, Ani ro'isi es Rebbe she giheik upiheik v'nis'atesh v'rok. I saw him do four different things in the middle of the davening. What's shegiyek? Says Rashi. Third bottom line. Shegiyek raitir belaz. If anybody here speaks French, Rabbi Yosef, you speak French? Raitir belaz means pa'omim, sometimes, sha'odom moitzi megufoy lepiv. Sometimes a person exudes from his guf via the mouth, naficha, which I think we would call in English a burp, B-U-R-P. Mitoich soivoi, because he is satiated, he's just eaten or overeaten. Verecha, and the odor of this particular sound that it's emitted from his mouth, is koreach, has the same smell as hamaychol she'ochal, as the food he's just eaten. So if you've just eaten onions, then when this burp comes up, that's the odor you're going to be smelling. And if it's something else, it'll be something else. So this is Reb Chanina testifying that this is something that I saw Rebbe do. Number one, she'giheik. Number two, upiheik. What's upiek? Says Rashi, upiek, ba'alir belaz, cheich malkoichov. I'm not sure what that means. Poiseach lohoitzi ruach haper. When a person, cheich is his jaw. When a person opens his jaw wide, this is a yawn. When a person opens his jaw wide, Lahoitzi ruach haper, in order to exhale, maybe is the right word, ruach that he has in his mouth, mole, completely wide open, ka'odom, like somebody sheroitze lishon, just like somebody who is very tired and wants to go to sleep, or the other way around, she'omad misheino, or he's just stood up from sleeping. As we know, this is when a person yawns, besides for during my shiurim, either a person is about to go to sleep or he is just sleeping, just slept, which is also relevant to my shiurim, and a mela, he yawns. So once again, Reb Chanina is saying that I have seen Rebbe do either of these two activities, either giek or piek, which means yawning. Third thing is venis atesh. This atesh, I think, means he sneezed. I sometimes saw him sneeze. The rock means to spit. Look at the last Rashi on the Omud. The rock, al gabe karka, on the ground. So there are four different activities, presumably. We're talking about in the middle of Kriya Shema or Tefillah, which is our discussion. Either a giyek, a burp, or piyek, a yawn, a sneeze, or he had to spit onto the floor. He had saliva in his mouth, he had to spit onto the floor. Turn over the Amud. Umamashmesh bebigdoi. Now there's machlokes exactly how to learn this, but let's see Rashi, and in a minute we'll see Tosfos. Umamashmesh, the big doy, literally translated means he would rub his clothes. Why would he rub his clothing? Says Rashi, lahavir hakino, in order to remove a louse, ho'oiktzatoi, who was threatening to bite him. So he saw a light louse or some other insect that was on his begodim, and it was threatening to make his way towards his flesh and bite him. So he rubbed his beged in order to shake it off. Avol loy hoyo misatif. Now, what does it mean, avol loy hoyo misatif? So literally translated means, but he would not put on his talis. Misatif, we know, like the bracha we made this morning, lisatif batzitzis. So what does it mean, avol loy hoyo misatif? Says Rashi, im noflo talisai kishahu mispalel. If his talus ever fell off whilst he was davening, loy hoyo noitlo, he would not take it, umisatef, and he would not take the beged in order to re-put it on. Why? Shaloy lahafsik, in order not to interrupt his davening. So, even though I did see my Rebbe, says Rav Chanina, do five things in the middle of davening on occasion. Giyek, piyek, sneeze, spit, rub his beged. But if his talus ever fell off, that he did not interrupt his davening, for he would not pick up his talus in the middle of davening to put it back on, because that apparently was considered a hefsek. Last thing, ukashahu mafaik. And if indeed he ever was mafaik, which was the second one on the list of yawning, hoyomaniach yodoi al santaroi, he would put his hand over his chin to block his mouth, says Rashi, santaroi mantum balaz shaloi tire psichas piv, in order not to see his mouth wide open, which I think is common courtesy. Unfortunately, you do not see it enough. We were always taught as young kids, if you need to yawn, or definitely if you need to cough, cover your mouth.
My father, Olav Shalom, used to say that if you don't cover your mouth, something might fly in.
Right. Sometimes I wish it would, and that might stop them. I'll call upon him. That's what he's being made about his Rebbe. Now, before we continue, let's have a look at the top tosis. Because those last two on the list, Rashi learned as two separate items. Umamashmesh bebigdoi, Rashi says, means he used to rub his beged in order to shake off any insect. And he would not put his talus on if it fell off. That's something else completely. That's something completely different, unrelated. Let's have a look at Tosfos. Tosfos learns that actually it is related. It says Tosfos umamashmesh bebigdoi. Pirush Rashi. Rashi explains lahavir hakino ha'oiktzatoi. It's in order to remove the kino, which is about to bite him or sting him. Avaloi misateif. What does that mean? Im noflo talisai. Period. According to that, says Tosfos, the trei mili ninhu. Therefore, they are two separate items. Mili means item. The trei mili ninhu. There's two separate items. According to Rashi, it's two different things. Number one, he used to shake off his beged in order to remove the insect. Number two, if the talus ever fell off, he would not put it on. That's two separate things. However, Rabbeinu Chananel Pirish, that no, the Choda Milsa He. But actually, it's all one item. It's not two separate things. Rather, it's one item just with two halves. How do you read those two things really as one? Pirish. Mamash Beish Bebigdoi. Do you know what it means? He used to be mamashmish, used to remove his beged, used to move around his beged. Not like Rashi says that it means in order to remove a louse that was threatening to sting him. No, that's not what it means. It means tikkun, used to fix up his talus shaloi yipoil me'al roishai, in order that it should not fall off his head. Avol, now this is the continuation. Avol im nofal me'al roishai, but if indeed it did fall from his head, lo yoyo mizatif, then indeed he would not put it back on. Shaharehi hafsoka im misatif, because that would be considered a hafsoka, a hefsek in the middle of the davening. If you now put his talis back on, why would it be a hefsek? Kiven shenofal legamri, because it's fallen off completely. Avol lesakin katsas, but merely to fix it up a little bit, meaning to prevent it falling off, shaloi yipoil, loy hava hafsoka. That's not considered a hefsek. So, according to Rabbi Yodol, you're about to say,
and say that if a person's talus falls off completely, to put it back on, he has to say a new bracha. And so if he has to say that bracha, that would be a half second and stuff. Right?
I can't hear you for some reason. I've just gone silent here. 1 second.
Ramco Bluetooth Doco. Ashma Ben Seud Kabel.
Yeah, Rabbi Yodol, sorry, you're saying?
I was saying that from my understanding, if a person's talus falls off completely, that in order to put it back on, he has to say a new bracha. And if he does that, then isn't that a half second his tefillah?
Right. So it's a good point. La halacha, you're right. La maisa, the minig is not that way. If you look in the Shulchan Aruch does say that if your talus falls off, you make a new bracha. La maisa, the shavur already brings chokim, and the minhag is not that way. The minig is not that way. But either way, you might be right that at least that's the pshat in the Tosfos. Meaning, the way Rabbeinu Chananel is learning is that this mamash meisha beged has nothing to do with removing an insect. It's the first half of this statement to do with a talus. Meaning, part one, if you're merely just moving around your talus to prevent it falling off, meaning you feel it's about to slip off, and therefore you move it, you adjust it, that's okay. Avol, now this is part two, it's not unrelated, it's very much a continuation. Avol loy hoyo misatif, meaning, but he would not put the talus back on if it completely fell off because it was a hefsek, which Rabbi Yoel David is suggesting might be because of the bracha, which at least la halacha would definitely be required. So we have a machloikas between Rashi and Tosfos how to learn this Gemara. According to Rashi, it's two separate items. Number one, he would move his beged around to shake off a louse. Number two, he would not put his talus back on if it fell off. Kuncha ben Chananel, it's not two separate things. He would move around his talus to prevent it falling off, but if it did fall off, he would not put it back on in the middle of Shmoneh Esrei.
I've also told people on occasion that you're not really Yosei wearing a talus unless you have to fight with it somewhat.
You have to what, sorry?
Fight with it. It constantly moves around, doesn't stay put. You have to keep fighting it.
So they've just now brought out a new non-slip talus, which is made out of a less slippery type material. Once you put it over your shoulders, it sort of the tension, the friction there keeps it on. But yeah, the good old fashioned talusim, slipping off. You have to be careful. Says the Gemara on the third wide line, Meisvei. We have a kasha. What's the kasha? Hamashmia koiloi bitfilosoi. If somebody is mashmia koil, which is another problem that you sometimes see when people daven, which is if they daven in a very loud tone. What does loud mean? You should not be able to hear the person next to you daven Shmoneh Esrei. And if you can, then he's davening too loud. So if you're mashmia koil, if a person davens loudly, then the Gemara is very critical of him. And the Gemara says, Hare zeh miketane emuna. If his koil is audible in the middle of davening, then it shows he has a lack of emuna. Why? Because if he really has emunah, then he'd appreciate that even if you daven quietly, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can hear as well. Worse still, HaMagbiya Koilo, if somebody actually raises his voice, not just it's audible, but if he raises his voice, it's even worse. HaReizeh M'Neviyei Sheker. Then he's one of the false prophets. Why is he like one of the false prophets? Remember the story with Eliyahu HaNavi and the Neviyei Har HaKarmel, when he told them to yell and scream. So if you yell and scream, you're like one of the Neviyei Sheker, says Rashi. Fourth wide line, HaReizeh Miktanei Emunah Ki'ilu. He's acting in a way as if Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shemeya Tfilas Lachash. He's acting as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't hear his silent Shemona Esra. Umagbiya Harba, and that's why he's raising his voice. If he does so even louder than Harry Zeman of Yeh Sheker. Why? Tachsiv Vayikru B'Koil Godel. That's a reference to the Nevi'ei Sheker. Okay, now that particular subject is not our subject at the moment, but carry on in that brisa. Then it says, Megahek Umafaik. If either of those two activities, if he burps or yawns, HaReizeh Migasei HaRuach. Literally translated, normally we translate it Gas Ruach, as in frivolous or haughty. It's not considered very complimentary if a person does that. HaMisateish B'Tfilosoi. If somebody sneezes in the middle of davening, Simen Ra Aloi. That's a very bad omen if he sneezes in the middle of davening. The Yesh Oimrim, and some say Niker Shehu Mechuar. It's recognizable that he's a disgusting person. Again, not very complimentary. The Harok B'Tfilosoi, if somebody spits in the middle of davening, that's considered extremely disrespectful. Kilu Rok B'Fnei HaMelech, it's if you're spitting in front of the king. That's the end of the braisa. So, here we have Rabbi Chanina testifying that Rebbe did exactly all of these four things, and yet the Braisa, in no uncertain terms, describes them in very non-complimentary fashion. It's Megayek Amafayek, he's a Baal Gaiva, if he sneezes, it's a Siman Ra, if he spits, it's disrespectful. So what's going on? So the Gemara says, let's go slowly. Bishloima Megayek Umafayek. Loi kasha. There's no difficulty resolving the fact that Rebbe was Megahik or Mefahik, even though the Bryce says everybody does so as a Baal Gaiba. Why? Because we can easily say that Kan Loinsoi and Kan Lerutsoinoi. There's a very big difference if he does so Barotsoi, meaning willingly he chooses to do so, as opposed to Loinsoi, where he did it uncontrolled. Suddenly a yawn just came out. He didn't decide to yawn. A yawn just emerged, or he was megaic and it just emerged. That's an oinus. Therefore, there's no stira. When Rebbe was spotted by Rebbe Chanina being megaic or mefahik, we can easily say that was ba'oinus. Wasn't his fault. He'd obviously just eaten a suda before davening. He was obviously very tired. Mamela, he was Megai Kumafaik, nothing he could do about it. When the Brisa says Megai Kumafaik is like a Baal Gaiva, we're talking about somebody who does so voluntarily. That's considered disrespectful. Therefore, there's no question, there's no stira from the Brisa so far to the way that Rebbe Chanina behaved with regard to Megai Kumafaik. Says the Gemara. Elo misateish, a misateish kasha. Sneezing is always an oinus. Nobody, you can't voluntarily sneeze. So therefore, there's no way that you can resolve now the discrepancy in saying that one is an oinus, one is not. A person who sneezes by definition is an oinus. So if the Braisa says that whoever sneezes, it's a simon ra, then we're very stuck. If we saw Rabbi Chanina saw Rabbi sneezing, are we to suggest that Rabbi davened in a way that it was a simon ra, a a bad sign? Rebbe was with Tzadik Yisoid Olam. How can that be? And don't tell me that the answer is one is Ba'onus and one is not Ba'onus, because it's always Ba'onus. Look at Rashi. Elo itush ha'itush kashya, de ein itush, elo lo'ein soy. Because sneezing by definition is always done so ba'oinus. It's always an oinus. So what can be the difference between the Brice who says it's a simon ra and Rebbe who did so? Are we going to dare suggest that Rebbe that acted in a way that it was considered a simon ra? Very, very unlikely. Says the Gemara, no. Misatish, amisatish, nami, loy, kasha. That's also not a kasha. We can miyashav the stira as well with regard to be misatish. Why? Kan milmalo, kan milmato. There is an itush. We are translating sneezing. But what essentially is sneezing? It's a goof exuding some air. It could either be from the top half of the goof or from the bottom half of the goof. And if it is from the bottom half of the goof, as Rashi says, if it's done in a loud way, which is rather impolite, or at least not very dignified, that is a siman ra. As Rashi says, the mato mefiach bekoil, if he does so in a way which is audible, then that's rather undignified. So yes, it might be an oinus, but at the end of the day, that's considered a siman ra. Whereas if somebody sneezes in the middle of davening in a normal manner, that's not a siman ra. That's a perfectly normal thing that it can happen uncontrolled and unexpected. So again, we've managed to answer now 3 out of 4. Megaik or mefaik, there's a difference between oinus and rotsen. And misatish, there's a difference in a regular sneeze that is not considered a siman ra. Mefiach bekoil, that is a siman ra. So what are we left with now? The fourth and final one, which is ruk, spitting. On the one hand, Rebbe saw Rebbe spitting, and yet we have a braisa that says that if you do so, that's considered a great bizoyin for the melech. Says the Gemara. Gemara first finishes off with itush. Doma Reb Zeira, ha milsa iboyeli. Our girsa is ivlo'a, but they have a side, change it to ibayali. Bei Rav Amnuna. This is something that I asked in the yeshiva of Rav Amnuna. The takilali ki kula talmudoi. And this weighs. This has heavy weight. I mean, this is a very special halacha in my eyes, because it was something that was regular that happened to me. And I learned there, I was told that to the contrary, Hamis Atish Bitfilosoi, would you believe it? Is a simon yofa loy. Sneezing is actually a positive sign. Kashem sho'isim loy nachas ruach milmato, kach oisim loy nachas ruach milmato. When a person sneezes, he feels better afterwards. So too, he should know he's bringing, as it were, a good feeling milmato by the Rabbeinu Shalom. So you see that what? That there's a different type of itush. Really, sneezing is not a detrimental sign at all. To the contrary, it can even be considered a simen yofer. So it must be that in the braisa where it says it's not a simen yofer, that's talking about the lower part of the guf. So we can quite easily say that when Reb Chanina saw Rebbe being misatish, he was referring to that type of itush. Says Rashi, the takilali ki kula talmudoi shekula olai. This has heavy weight. The chaviva, it is precious to me. Why? Lefi shehoya rogil lehis atish. Because he would regularly sneeze. And when he heard in the yeshiva of Rav Amnuna that somebody who sneezes, it's a siman yofer, he was delighted. Because we've got another braisa that says whoever sneezes, it's a very bad sign. So he was extremely concerned. But then in the yeshiva of Rav Amnuna, they taught him to the contrary, that whoever sneezes is a very good sign, so he was very, very happy. So three out of four answered. What's left? Says the Gemara, Elo, rock, a rock, kasha. So the last remaining question we have is, how was it that Reb Chanina spotted Rebbe spitting? And yet in the Bryce it says, whoever spits, that's considered like spitting in front of the Melech. That's a big bizayin. Says the Gemara, no, that's not a kasha either. Rock, a rock, nami, loy kasha. That's not difficult either. That could also be reconciled. How so? Efsha could Rav Yehuda. Domer Rav Yehuda. Because Rav Yehuda once said, Hoya, I made betfiloh, if somebody was standing in the middle of davening. V'nizdamin loy roik. And roik, meaning saliva, suddenly just appeared in his mouth. What's he supposed to do? So mavlia betalisa. We're talking about clearly in a way that it's not possible for him just to swallow it. So mavlia betalisa. He will just let it out from his mouth gently into his beged. V'im talis no'ehu. And if it's a nice talis, so it would be very disrespectful, not very, rather unbecoming for him to now release the saliva into the beged. Then mavlia ba'apar kesusay. What's apar kesusay?
Turban.
Says Rashi, efsha kud Rabbi Yehuda lahavlia ba'apar kesusay suda shabaraishai. It's the cloth covering the turban on his head. Shnei Roshin Tuluyin Bafonov, which has two ends hanging in front of him, and he'll therefore release the saliva into there.
Why can't he swallow it?
You normally can, but on occasion it's not possible. Says the Gemara in conclusion, Ravina Havakoi Achoire Drabashi. So one second. So how have we answered the kasha so far? Is spitting considered to be a bizoyon or not? The answer is it depends. If somebody spits on the floor in the middle of davening, that's considered a bizoyon. But if somebody gently lets it out into his beged, then that's not a bizoyon. So we have managed to answer once again now the final stira. When Rabbi saw Reb Chanina spitting, that's not a bizoyon because he didn't do so into his, onto the floor, rather he did it into the beged. The Gemara says in conclusion, the story. Ravina Vakoi. Ravina was standing achoire de Ravashi. He was standing behind Ravashi. Nizdamin loiroik. And this saliva now suddenly appeared in his mouth. Pitke la achoire. So what did he do? He threw it behind him. He did not release it into his beged. Why not? Oh, Malay, what's going on? Loi sovar lo mar. Do you not hold the hod of Yehuda mavliya ba'apra kesusay? Rabbi Yehuda says the easy way is just to release it into your beged. So why did you spit behind you? Oh, Malay, he said, what do you want me to do? Ano I anina da'atoi. What does it mean, anina da'atoi? This the Gemara sometimes calls an istanis, a mafunuk. I'm a bit finicky. I cannot possibly release saliva into the beged. I can't. I'm too tender for that, I'm too English, too proper, and therefore there's no way I can do that. Maybe I didn't have a choice. So yes, I didn't spit it in front of me. I did so in a neat way behind me that nobody should see, but to release it into my beged, I can't do that.
I have a hard time picturing this happening in the Gra.
As Hashem, it shouldn't happen. I'll call upon Ivaifan. So you see a remarkable thing in this Gemara. Every little bodily action has halachas. And every bodily action, you see that Rav Chanina was taking such careful note from his Rebbe. And if his Rebbe was Mefaik or Magaik, Misatesh, Rok, then every single bodily action for him was a whole statement. And you see, you need a whole Gemara to try and explain even the way a Talmud Chacham behaves, an incredible Gemara. We're normally used to a Gemara explaining what a Talmud Chacham says. If he issues a Psak Halacha, we have to see if it's correct or not. But here you see that no, it's nothing that he said, it's something that he did. And every single bodily action has a whole Shulchan Aruch of Halachas, and the Gemara has half an Amud to try and explain all of it. So we'll hold it over here, and Be'ezus Hashem, continue next time. Okay, be whatever.